Facts on Sports with Faxon Chilvers and John Hite.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 6/10 of a second remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards.
I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
He throws shoot.
Clark in a straight check.
Oh, he did do that. He threw it away. King Pickies.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, then Chase Hunter, 2 seconds, one launches a three. Good if it goes, it does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Clemson into the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Faxon Chilvers and John Hite.
We welcome you in, everybody. It's the Friday edition of Faxon Sports with Faxon Chilvers and John Hite right here on The Roar. Friday, June 27th, 2025. Crazy, we're almost into July already. Excited to have you with us here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co. Roofing text line. Much to discuss throughout the course of the program. Today, John and I have got some NFL and college football stuff to talk about that we've been emailing back and forth on throughout the course of the week. So we've got some intriguing topics that we want to bring up, maybe a couple of which will be controversial. So we'll keep that in the back pocket for later in the show if you want to talk football. We, of course, have to talk Atlanta Braves baseball, a disappointing loss last night up at Citi Field where the bats went dormant once again. Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, nothing super eye-popping as of last night. It was honestly blowout city across the rest of the major leagues. The Miami Marlins did sweep the San Francisco Giants, which feels worth acknowledging. After the Giants pick up Devers, you feel like they're going to go on the uptick. It's been a little bit of a downturn since, so we'll see if they can get that turned around. Round two of the NBA draft. No Clemson Tigers selected, unfortunately, in Victor Lockett and Chase Hunter. We'll keep you in the loop on where they're expected to land and what their contract situation looks like across the NBA. In the undrafted free agent scene, which is what PJ Hall was into last year, and again, you know, in that second round, a lot of teams have promises. Your agent's telling you, hey, we've got a fit here where we could potentially get a two-way contract. There's a lot of context to that situation. So Chase and Vic not getting drafted doesn't mean that they weren't top 60 players in the class. They just didn't necessarily have a spot with the teams drafting in the 40s and the 50s. So sometimes that's the way the cookie crumbles. Much more to discuss as it's going to be a jam-packed weekend in the sports world. We are approaching a little bit of a dead period in the calendar, but still a lot going on and still a lot to discuss. And of course, college football and college basketball seem like they're just around the corner here in the coming months. So excited to start to preview that. John, how was your Thursday? Excited to be here on Friday.
Thursday was solid. Happy Friday. Happy to be here and looking forward to the weekend ahead.
Yeah, looking forward to the weekend as well. 094 getting in early and said, just saw kids throwing a baseball. I pulled to Michael Harris and swung at it from 45 feet away. That's a brutal tone to start the program on. But
he's not wrong.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Michael Harris would swing at a pitch that's 45 feet away.
This is true.
I'm surprised he doesn't swing more when he's warming up, if he's like looking over at like a bullpen pitcher warming up, if he's not trying to swing at some of those from the, you know, the on-deck circle.
He has never met a pitch that he does not like, so I got to give credit where it is due on that front. But, John, since we've got college football stuff in the bank today, and I was rolling through that doc that you sent earlier to me in the week, and there's a lot of intriguing things on there, including a couple ACC things that I know are going to get the audience fired up. So let's start with the Braves today here for Friday's show, because it's going to be a big weekend ahead of Atlanta. Obviously, it goes without saying that you've got borderline must wins on the horizon against Philadelphia. You really need to find a way to take the series against those Phillies that have owned you as of the last couple of years, especially in the playoffs. The regular season, the Braves have actually fared pretty fine. But the playoffs, obviously, it's that mental blockade of what the Phillies have done. But last night on the diamond against the Mets, a team that you traditionally own, the Mets were able to lock up a sweep with a 4-0 win. Grant Holmes, he did enough on the mound. 5 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 3 walks. Again, one of those scenarios, and hate to beat the dead horse as we come in here, and it feels like I've given this exact same sentiment on a lot of Braves losses this season. Starting pitching was good enough to win. Other areas of your team were not good enough to win, specifically your lineup. And, you know, I'm not a rocket scientist for pointing out the fact that you can't win Major League Baseball games in which you get 3 hits. That's just not super realistic to have any chance of winning, you know, much less against a team that's a really good team like the New York Mets, regardless of what the last couple weeks may indicate. So last night, looking through the box score, the Braves struck out 11 times in totality. Murphy was responsible for 3 of those, Harris with 1, Olsen and Ozuna with 2 apiece, but we're going to give them some grace because they had 2 of the 3 hits, and the only other hit came from Eli White. The rest of the team went 0-for. Austin Riley is ice cold right now. He's down to .269 batting average, .322 on base percentage, and .428 slugging. You know, just point blank, you're not getting enough from him and Ozuna right now. And that can be said for a majority of this lineup. So it is what it is. At some point, you reach a point in the season where you have an identity. We're 80 games into the season. The Braves have an identity. The Braves have really good pitching when healthy. The Braves have 3 or 4 really good players like Acuna and Olsen. And when Riley's hitting, he's really good. And when Ozuna's hitting, he's really good. And then the Braves have a really nice catching tandem of Sean Murphy and Drake Baldwin. And there's nothing to call home about on this team outside of that, just to be truthful. And unfortunately, the Braves have also ran themselves into what I've noticed over the last couple weeks, John, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. If Olsen and Acuna do not play well, you do not win. It really is as simple as that. If Olsen and Acuna do not play well, you do not win. And to the fact that they're actually the only two players on the Braves roster that have an above average WRC plus in the month of June. We're about to be at the end of month of June, and the Braves have 3 of the worst 5 qualified hitters in baseball in this month. It's bad right now, to say the least. So, not trying to be negative. Again, it just is what it is. I still think the Braves are a pretty decent team that's going to find a way to wiggle their way to that 500 line and might make a move or two at the deadline and getting Pro Far back, and all those good things can still be true. But it's frustrating to watch this team go out on a night-to-night basis, and if 2 players don't carry the brunt of your offensive load, you automatically lose the game is what it feels like.
But you have a chance to right the ship over the course of this weekend. I think home cooking will be very good for the Atlanta Braves. You're Agreed. Dealing with your 22-15 at home, and you're taking on the Phillies, who are 1 game above 500 on the road, who have lost 3 in a row, by the way. You know, the Phillies just got swept at Houston coming up, you know, to Atlanta this weekend. So I like the pitching matchups here. I think that Elder, Schwellenbach, and Strider is a pretty good 1-2-3 for what the Braves have right now. You've got a chance. You've got a chance. You're not down and out yet.
You're not.
Listen, I know this is a tough spot for Braves fans to be in, 6 games below 500 as we sit here on June 27th. I understand that, and I empathize somewhat with that. But there's a lot worse situations in Major League Baseball than what's going on in Atlanta. And you are certainly not out of it. We've talked a lot about how you get through this stretch, and there's a lot of advantageous opportunities left on the schedule. Remember, there's only 3 games for the rest of this season that are going to start after 8:15 p.m. And that's coming July 8th, 9th, and 10th when you go out to Sacramento. But we just talked about the Braves' good home record, sitting there at 22-15. You play your next 9 games at Truist. The Phillies, the Angels, and the Orioles. The Angels and the Orioles are terrible.
Yeah, that is true.
So I understand that this everything was fun with the Mets until they fought back. So I understand that there's a little bit of a downer here, that the last two games weren't all that competitive between the Mets and the Braves after you had five in a row over this team. But to act like the season is, I'm not saying that you are, but for Braves fans to act like this season is over, I think shows a little bit of bad sportsmanship, if I'm being honest.
I don't think that the season's over.
No, I'm not saying that you are.
I think that
I see a lot of this rhetoric online, but you have an opportunity here. You talk about the identity. We know what these teams are as we're sitting here about the halfway point of this season. You know this team's really good at home. So let's say you're able to take 6 of 9 of these next games coming up at home. You get 2 Strider starts. You get 2 Schwellenbach starts. You get 2 Elder starts, all in Truist. And you may not win the series this weekend against the Phillies, but I still think you're better than the Angels. You're better than the Orioles. And then follow, I think you're better than the Athletics when you go on the road, even though we know the state of California is not good for the Braves to play in. I still think there's a lot of opportunity like we talked about earlier. The Giants just got swept by the Marlins.
They did.
You know, the Diamondbacks' free fall will continue. I like the Reds, but the National League Central's got to sort itself out at some time. Someone's got to start winning games there. And then not to mention, a couple of those West Coast teams are going to fall off as well. So I think if you stay the course, keep plugging along, you still have an opportunity in which to do something. But I think I understand some of the pessimism in Atlanta if you look at it in a vacuum. If you look at just the Braves and what they are doing, it is tough. I understand that. But like Tex says, you have the opportunity to go 6-3 over your next 9, all of them at home. You're 6 games below 500. You win 6-9, so what, you'll be 3 back?
Yeah. And listen,
and that is, when you look at the wild card standings, you can play with that. You can make things happen. Now, this is a time where Austin Riley needs to get his head out of his you-know-what. Sean Murphy, you can't have 3 at-bats with 3 strikeouts. Just can't have it.
Yeah.
But there's an opportunity here for this team. There's an opportunity here for these guys to continue to make a run, because it's incredible how the pitching staff is still holding on.
They've been pretty good.
You're down 3 starters. And Grant Holmes gave you enough to win last night.
To be honest,
he only gave up 2.
My
from an earned run standpoint.
If it sounds like I'm being pessimistic, I got to be honest, and maybe this comes off in the wrong way, I don't really care that they lost the Mets the last 2 games. I think my pessimism is more sparked from like the impending doom might be the wrong word. The Chris Sale injury really changed my outlook on this team, whether it's fair or not, short and long term.
Like, that's understandable. You lost a guy who was in Cy Young contention. That's going to be a gut punch.
You had like all the momentum in the world. Like, he's making this diving play. You're having this great home stand where you sweep the Mets, and then you go on the road, and it's like, okay, we're calling up Fuentes. And like, there's excitement because you're calling up Fuentes. And it's like, even if we lose, guess what? We're stacking Sale and we're stacking Schwelly for the first 2 games of the next Mets series. And then to have that take it away from you, it's been hard to be as positive without Chris Sale in the picture or knowing what his timeline is.
I understand that.
I don't disagree with you at all. And I've been the one, you know, we've both been banging the drum. Hey, get to around 500 by the All-Star break, and you're right in it. Get Profar back in the mix, make a couple moves. You've got 9 of these at home. You got 4 of these 5 series against teams that I would like to believe that you're better than on your best day. The Phillies are better than the Braves. You're probably better than the Angels. You're definitely better than the Orioles and the A's, and you're probably comparable with the Cardinals. I would say that they're marginally better as of right now. But 9 of those 15 games down the stretch are in this first half are at home, as you alluded to. You get 9 in a row at home. I'm not coming in here saying the season's over or I'm punting. I just, as far as the lineup goes, the lineup is really just, even when winning games, like this is the problem for me, even when winning games, you're not lighting up the scoreboard. You won 5-4. Like, your best offensive series of the season, borderline, came against the Mets, scoring 19 runs in 3 games.
And that's very good, because they're a team that's going to make the playoffs.
They are, but they also are down like their top four pitchers, and we were playing against a AAA guy and one of their spot starters. I'm not trying to discredit wins, because winning is winning, but when are the Braves going to perform well against a quality team that is not the Mets would be my next question. Because
why not tonight?
Right now is like the opportunity to flip the pendulum against a team like Philadelphia. If you want the Braves fan base to buy back in, like if that is the goal here, and you want people to believe again, and you're this Atlanta Braves team, because I say it again, I might come off as negative. It's hard to be positive after the last two games and Sale's injury. You're still not out of this or anywhere close to out of this. But this is a massive series against Philadelphia for an onslaught of reasons. Obviously, you're not catching them in the division. But what you have a chance to do is send a message that the first Mets series you won wasn't a fluke, and that you can indeed hang with the top dogs in Major League Baseball this year. Because when you look back through a lot of Atlanta playing the upper echelon teams in this league, all right, you get swept by San Diego, you get swept by Los Angeles to start the season, you take 2 out of 3 over Philadelphia at home. Good series win. If you want to go to the other, like, quote-unquote good teams the Braves have played, you lost 2 out of 3 to Los Angeles. I would consider the Reds good, and you won 3 out of 4. So we're going to be fair and give credit there. You lost 2 out of 3 to the Padres. You lost 2 out of 3 to the Phillies. And you lost all 3 to the Giants. And then you had this recent run of play where you went 5-2 over 7 games against the Mets, which is good. The Braves have just been mediocre throughout the course of the season in totality. They've been okay against good teams. They've been okay against bad teams. Like, this is just kind of where they are. And I believe that they've been pretty unlucky as far as batted ball, one-run games, expected wins, loss, all of that. And that can be true, and that's what the data can indicate, which is that the team is better than the record shows. But the record's the record. And you're in a hole still. And I think that's part of the reason maybe I'm a little bit disappointed, John, is because after the sweep of the New York Mets originally, before we take a quick break, you were within 5 games under 500. And you were talking about a scenario where if you just took 2 out of 3 from Miami and then split, you're looking out on the other side of this thing, 4 games under 500 entering the series against the Phillies with the chance to make some major impact going forward. And unfortunately, that just didn't happen. So we'll preview this Phillies series. For what it's worth, I love the way that the Braves pitching stacks against Baltimore to start off July and that weekend of July 4th. I like the way the Braves pitching stacks against a Los Angeles team that I don't think very highly of. And I don't hate the way the Braves pitching stacks against the Phillies. I've talked about this sequence of play for, you know, a month now and how important it's going to be to close the first half of the season strong and be treading water around that 500 line. But in order to do that, I think you're going to have to take 2 out of 3 against Philadelphia, which is a tall task because that's a very, very good team that's going to be desperate and hungry for wins coming into Truist as well. So it's time to do what you've done well this year. Protect home field. We'll start to preview the Phillies series on the other side and also talk about some potential trade candidates, because I think one of the biggest issues with the whole Sale injury, John, the Braves really need another starter right now, because that back half of the rotation of Fuentes as your 5, Elder as your 4, and Holmes as your 3. Listen, when Elder's your 5 and Holmes is your 4, you got a really darn good rotation. With the way that things are currently shaking out, not anywhere near as quality in my opinion. So we'll take a quick break and we'll unpack all of that and more on the other side.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Have you thought about creating an estate plan? Without a will or trust in place, the state will have control over your assets when you're gone. If this is something you haven't thought about yet, let the Green Law Firm help you plan for your future and your family's security. David and his team specialize in creating the best estate plans for you, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and end-of-life directives. Let Green Law Firm give you peace of mind knowing your legacy is protected. Call today at 86-427-1794 or visit greenlaw.legal for your free consultation.
Estes Heating and Air is here to keep your family cool in the summer and warm in the winter with premium Heil units, supercharged with 100 years of superior engineering and quality manufacturing. Estes is Clemson alumni-owned and celebrating 26 years of serving Tiger fans across Oconee, Pickens, and Greater Greenville. Be sure to like their Facebook page for giveaways, promotions, and specials. That's E-S-T-E-S Heating and Air on Facebook to win prizes and receive specials on HVAC services and installs to keep your family comfortable all year long with Heil units. Depend on them. Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
Tiger fans, are you all in? Then gear up with the Tiger Sports Shop, your go-to source for everything Clemson. From Nike sideline styles to exclusive Lululemon and the best selection of Clemson apparel, we've got you covered 365 days a year. Plus, by joining our Tiger Rewards loyalty program, you'll earn points and unlock exclusive perks throughout the season. Shop local at our two Clemson locations, Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue, or order anytime at tigersports.com. All in, all the time.
Go Tigers!
Mr. Rage here, inviting you to join the 2007 Florida State Duckpin Bowling Champion Ramona and all the Ragers as we rank all of the ACC and SEC quarterbacks, offering complete analysis. We also start to break down the National Football League by division, all the offseason moves and more. And finally, we discuss some Braves-Mets baseball. Join us for Road Rages Friday starting at 3 p.m.
The Peace Lily is so last year. Hey, has anyone worked with Fiddlenecks?
Shelby's popular flower shop is in full bloom.
We just got a request for an arrangement that evokes air. Who's up for that challenge? No?
She needs to hire a floral designer to nip foliage faux pas in the bud.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our advanced matching helps find talented candidates so you can connect with them fast. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Going to preview the Braves series this upcoming weekend. Shift gears to some college football at some point in this hour as well. 654-ROAR if you want to get in. John, to be honest, I don't have a ton of thoughts on tonight's game as far as matchups go. Bryce Elder has been pretty poor as of late and has started to kind of return to what I would deem normalcy. He's got a 5.32 ERA and four starts throughout the course of the month of June. He had his nice little run in May. It is what it is, but Bryce Elder is not a major league pitcher, in my opinion. He can be your five. He can be maybe a low-tier four, but he's not a guy that you want in your rotation when you're healthy. And that was evidenced by the beginning of the season where he started in AAA. Now, I will say that it's not the worst matchup in the world tonight against the Phillies, headed up against Mick Abel for Philadelphia. He's been a really impressive youngster, just 23 years old, the Portland native, a 3.47 ERA. But as we mentioned a little bit earlier in the program, the Phillies are in a little bit of a skid right now too, losing four out of their last five and just coming off a sweep against the Houston Astros in which they scored one run in three games. So if you thought the Braves bats were bad the last couple days, the Phillies were actually somehow worse the last three against Houston on the road at Minute Maid. So now they've got a travel day from Houston to Atlanta, coming off the back of a sweep, losing four out of their last five dating back to the Mets series, and it feels like the Braves are catching Philadelphia at the right time. Schwellenbach versus Lizardo is how the Saturday pitching matchup is shaping out, and Sunday is Strider versus Suarez. John, talk to me a little bit about these three pitching matchups. I actually think the Braves fare pretty well in all three. I think it's probably even across the board with maybe a marginal advantage to Schwellenbach over Lizardo. I think Strider and Suarez kind of wash each other out at their current stage, and Abel's a little bit better than Elder, but not some massive landslide of a gap or anything.
Not a massive landslide of a gap by any means, but I do think we need to remember that Bryce Elder is a better pitcher at Truist than he is on the road. Just like the majority of this, the 26 members of the Atlanta Braves in the 25 season. Like, his ERA is almost an entire point lower at home than it is on the road. In terms of home runs given up, he's only given up two home runs in Truist Park all season long. Like, he is pitching where he is comfortable. I think this is a very big thing. I think the fact that this series is at home is massive for the Atlanta Braves, because if you remember the last time the Braves played the Phillies, got a win in a series against them, was at Truist.
That is true.
I think this is they're Truist Park merchants. Like, you get them at home, they win baseball games. You send them on the road, they don't know what to do. But right now, you're at home for the next nine. Like, Philly is on a little bit of a losing skid right now. The first bit of real adversity they have had to face pretty much this season. I think it's a great opportunity for the Braves. And maybe this is part of the fact that my team is like 20 games below 500, to where I just don't take a whole lot of sympathy for six games below. But also, I just see a very good opportunity here. I see a situation where if you are still as good as the payroll is slated, as everybody who has been on this team for a while, like, series you should be able to take care of. You should be able to take care of it, get six out of your next nine. Like, I don't see why you can't win two or three of the next three series. And so I think that Bryce Elder tonight at home, this is as good of a spot as you're going to have for him. You know, I think the national TV on Saturday night is good for the Braves. I think I'll inject a little extra juice into the ballpark, into the lineup, into everyone's prep for the day. And then I think on Sunday, it's a coin flip from a pitching matchup. I think this is as good of an opportunity as the Braves have had for a while. Got to go out and capitalize. You know, I think if we come in here in 10 days after the Baltimore series, and you haven't won 5-9, 6-9, and you're not playing good baseball, then we can invite some of the pessimism into the program. But right now, I'm sorry. I like, Austin, I appreciate you getting in every day. He said, John, quit giving me hope. This Braves team is up there with Clemson football 21-23 as the most frustrating sports teams I've ever seen. Brother, you got to get out a little bit more. Those Clemson teams still won like 10 games. I can show you real frustration.
Yeah.
Like, Ozzie Albies is playing poorly. I agree there 100% with Austin. Ozzie needs to go. I've been saying that for a while. If you need to dangle somebody, this is the guy to dangle. You got to find somebody where can get some actual presence in the lineup instead of Ozzie Albies. But I don't believe that this team and this franchise is just completely done. I don't. I think you have a really good opportunity here capitalize on this situation against the Phillies. That's just an outsider's perspective.
Yeah. It's listen, you got to lock in and you got to find a way to win games, and it's really just as simple as that. And you need to do some chipping away at this deficit before the All-Star break. And that goes without saying as well. Getting Profar back into the mix should be an immense boost to what the outlook of this team looks like. And also, you know, getting, you know, multiple other guys back into the fray, hopefully down the stretch, and a Sale and a Lopez, etc. Getting Nacho back, who's now injured in AAA, which is just annoying on top of everything else. That should help what the long-term outlook looks like as well.
When does Profar return to this team officially?
Profar should be, I want to say, Let me make sure I'm not.
Is it next week?
I want to say next week, yes.
When is Lopez supposed to start throwing again?
To be honest, I searched for this 2 days ago, and I haven't seen any level of update on Reynaldo Lopez. I don't know.
And we do believe Chris Sale will return at some point this season.
Yes, that is the indication that we have right now.
So there are arguably your two of your definitely your best pitcher, and then one who was last year. You have the opportunity of them to return, and you have the guy that was your big ticket free agent signing that is slated to return next week.
Oh, I sorry to intrude. Lopez isn't coming back this season. There's a report that came out about 24 to 36 hours ago on Lopez that says report long recovery reaffirmed for Braves Reynaldo Lopez. So Lopez underwent arthroscopic surgery on his right shoulder due to inflammation, was on the 15-day IL. They bumped him to the 60. The surgery revealed no structural damage. He was shut down for 12 weeks and it was supposed to be reevaluated around the All-Star break. But now we're getting news and confirmation that it's going to be a little bit more long-term than anticipated. So, yeah. Once he returns for his evaluation, Snitker said they'll be able to determine his range of motion and figure out a timeline from there post-All-Star break. However, this update reaffirms that Lopez, at best, could be back at the end of the regular season. So, you're not getting Lopez back. You're not getting Smith-Shawver back. You might get Sale back, and hopefully Nacho can come up and contribute at some point as well. And then Profar will be back next week. That's the latest on the suspensions and injuries for Atlanta, and who you could be getting back into the mix. So, it goes without saying that whenever you get Sale back, this team's going to be bolstered immensely, right? Your rotation's going to get better. And on top of that, you know, you're going to have that leadership quality back in the clubhouse as well, which is why I think it's important that Sale is still traveling with the team during this rehab process, because I think they need him, to be honest. He seems like a guy, and there aren't many on the Braves right now that have some vocal pull in that locker room and have not been afraid to speak up and step up when leadership is needed. So definitely hoping you can get Chris Sale back in the mix as soon as humanly possible. But Lopez, it's unfortunate. Bunch of texts flooding in on the Adams Co. Roofing text line. Texter says another miss by AA with Lopez. I'm going to have to disagree with you there. He was an all-star last year. He's on a good contract.
He carried a ton of weight for this team last year when Strider got injured and Schwellenbach couldn't figure it out and Smith-Shawver was up and down and Bryce Elder completely regressed.
Listen, if we want to slander Anthopoulos, there's a large sample size to pick from this year, but I'm not sure if a guy getting injured is really on him at the end of the day. Like, I do get it, right? You know, you give money to a 30-plus-year-old pitcher, inherently that comes with an amount of risk, and if you want to say, hey, Anthopoulos shouldn't have paid an aging guy with an injury history, sure, I could get behind that, but I just think he got pretty unlucky with that this year. I mean, Lopez is a guy that made the All-Star game last year. He was very quality for you in your rotation. He was projected to be a part of the big three when Strider was back into the mix at the top of that rotation. And I mean, you think about what this rotation was supposed to be at its full arsenal, John, with what we've seen. Strider coming back into form, Sale back in Cy Young form, Lopez in 2024 form, Schwelly and Smith-Shawver, this would have been the best rotation in baseball if healthy. Unfortunately, you've had injuries to now four of those five guys throughout the course of the season, and let me knock on wood that nothing happens to Schwelly, even if it is minor and just for a couple of weeks. But yeah, I don't think that. I think Anthopoulos has had plenty of misses this offseason and the last couple of years. But I think the Lopez thing and you know, blaming the GM for injuries, I get it to a certain degree. I don't really think that that's on AA. Texter gets in and says he's a bullpen guy that they tried to stretch into a starter. He's been hurt for extended periods every season he's been here. You know, those are fair points. Like, I was skeptical at first as well about the transition. I do think he responded well to it, but you have to wonder there, is there a causation effect with stretching that arm out and him getting injured? Again, no real way of knowing, but yeah, I mean, obviously you'd like to have that $10 million in the bank right now to spend elsewhere, but I also would have taken, you know, on surface value, my 2024 production from Reynaldo Lopez on that contract and on that dime. So kind of a double-edged sword there, if you will. Texter says, I'm halfway optimistic and halfway I want to go scream into a pillow. Can you relate, Faxon? Yeah, like, I'm a firm believer that the team is not as bad as the record would indicate, but they need to start showcasing that they've got a little bit of life. And Ozzy and Michael are just brutal right now. Texter gets in. A bunch of Texters are getting in. Not super into the baseball world, but could the Braves not afford to bring back Fried? Oof, you're really going to get people fired up 4-2-0. The Braves could afford to bring back Fried. The Braves wanted to be under the tax is the best way that I know how to describe it. And in all fairness, to ownership, if you're in the tax for three straight years, the tax increases exponentially and it costs you, like, it would have cost the Braves multiple extra tens of millions of dollars to retain Max Fried. And Alex Anthopoulos doesn't believe in extending pitchers long term more times than not. But with that being said, like, yeah, you could have brought him back, but it would have been against every decision you've made in the Anthopoulos era from a contract valuation standpoint.
And it was almost like 2 years worth of messaging that the the next contract was not going to happen from both Fried's camp and from the front office of the Atlanta Braves. I think it was, if you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way that I remember it, it was almost like a understanding of we are going to part ways when this is over. Like I don't think that the Braves ever really considered giving him that money, and I don't think Max Fried ever considered a hometown discount. I mean, the last couple of years on this time slot, the amount of text calls and questions we would get daily of, will Max Fried take the hometown discount, or is he going to go test free agency? He was always going to go test free agency. I think what shocked everybody is where he ended up. And I remember a lot of the conversation was, he'll probably end up taking the massive deal with the Angels to go back home to California and then just kind of fade away into oblivion. I think the hard part for Braves fans is that he's pitching for the Yankees and is in Cy Young contention.
Yeah.
He was supposed to fade into irrelevance with the Angels and hasn't done so.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, you know, I think that's why we are more mad at Freddie Freeman, is because he's with a contender in the Dodgers and he's competing for something, versus why I don't think we don't have a whole lot of issue with Dansby Swanson, because I don't think Braves fans take the Cubs franchises seriously.
Yeah, I hate to put it this way. On the Dansby, the Freddie, and the Fried contracts, like, I'm cool with the decisions that were made. Like, I'm sorry. I just am. I'm completely fine with the decisions that Alex Anthopoulos made. I got to just be honest with you guys. Listen, Dansby Swanson, there was zero chance in heck that I'm ever paying that contract in a million. Go take $180 million and congratulations. I'll shake your hand. I'll thank you for the World Series. You're a winner in life, brother. You got Mallory Pugh and $180 million in Chicago. Go live your life. Nothing personal. That was never happening for any team in Major League Baseball, much less the Atlanta Braves with their ownership group. On the Freddie front, the Braves elected to go younger, and the Braves elected to go cheaper. And the Braves elected to get the second best player in the league at their position when Freddie has been the best over the last 5 years or so. I don't think that was some monumental downgrade that's worth the panic button that we hit. And sure, then with Fried, like, once again, knock on wood, not putting any bad juju into the air, the Braves have had three starters drop out of thin air. It's what we're talking about right now. Well, what is to say that Max Fried would not have gotten injured if he were here, and then everybody would be like, well, why did Anthopoulos blow $22 million a year on Fried? So it's the exact same conversation that we could be having on the inverse of this if he would have just made the alternate decision and extended Max Fried.
The problem was Max Fried didn't want to play for $10 million a year and winning a Cy Young.
Yeah, like, listen,
you can't have it both ways. And do we not remember? We're going to have to go to break here, because I'm going to do something I never do on the program. I am going to quote and agree with Chad the Mailman.
Oh, wow.
Brace, especially on the front of Alex Anthopoulos. This is a first time for me, so we are going to have to go to break right after I read off this text. Braves fans blame Alex Anthopoulos for injuries, then blame Alex Anthopoulos for not signing Fried, who was injured all the time.
Yeah. I mean, it. Listen, you can't have it both ways, and I get it. Anthopoulos 100,000,000% deserves criticism for this team this year in the roster construction, right? You should have invested more into the bullpen. Profar was a whiff. Again, I tend to lean more towards not his fault. Mutual blame is what we'll settle on for sake of convenience. And then when you look at, maybe you should have pursued a different shortstop option, that goes without saying that you shouldn't have entered the year with Arcia Allen. There are plenty of things to nitpick Anthopoulos about, but just funnily enough, the things that people nitpick him the most about don't really bother me, which is letting Dansby walk, going for Olsen instead of Freeman, trading for Sean Murphy. I think all those were pretty decent moves in real time. I didn't hate the moves in real time, even though the emotional factor, didn't like to see Freddie go and didn't like to see Dansby go. Man, the Dansby one hurt more than the Freddie one. I can't lie to y'all. That one hurt. I understood why we couldn't give him $180 million and make him the highest paid player in the history of the franchise, but that one hurt. That one hurt. I can't sit here and lie to y'all. And the Freed one hurt too, man, but the final thing I'll say is this. The Braves aren't getting bag checked by some small market team. Like, the Braves got bag checked by the Yankees. The Yankees and the Cubs. You're talking about two of the top eight payrolls in baseball this year. Two ownership groups that spend buku bucks. And then you're talking about Freeman with the Dodgers, who have the highest payroll in baseball outside of New York and have had the highest payroll in baseball over the course of the last 5 years. So I don't know if you're actually as mad as Alex Anthopoulos as you think you are, to be honest. I think you're a little bit more mad at the ownership group for not shelling out more dollar signs. Because guess what? Liberty Media could have come forward and said, hey, we'll match that $7,180 for Dansby. We'll pay Freddie the $160 he wants out in L.A. We'll match that contract that the Yankees are going with. And they didn't. So it just is what it is. We'll wrap the Braves talk. I've got a couple more comments in the upcoming segment. 654-ROAR if you want to get in. You guys have been great all week with the engagement. Keep flooding the Adams Co. Roofing text line. And excited to get to some college football and NFL topics in the next segment and bleeding into hour number two here on The Roar.
It's official. Jazz on the Alley every Thursday night right here in downtown Seneca. It's a lot of fun. It's absolutely free. It's outside dining and great music. We get started early at 5:30 with a happy hour. Here's a few sounds of some of these fabulous artists. And we get ready for a great show, 7 till 9, with the main acts. We got some great lineups for you right here. Here's just a few of the artists.
Change, change, change.
Yeah, you and your friends, along with 3,000 of your closest friends, will be here every Thursday night right here on Ramcat Alley in Townville Street. It's Jazz on the Alley, voted best event of the year. Come on out, bring your chairs just in case you need them, and have fun. And every Thursday, we'll see you for a little jazz.
Are you ready for the best bang this July 4th? Experience all the excitement with Carolina Fireworks. Best prices and selection in the upstate. Family owned and operated since 1948 with 5 convenient locations to fill your needs. All locations listed at carolinafireworks.net. Teachers, military, fire, and police get a discount with proper ID on top of the already great prices. Visit Carolina Fireworks at any of our 5 upstate locations. Carolina Fireworks, we'll take your breath away.
Searching for your dream home? Great Southern Homes is here to make it happen. Whether it's your first house or your forever home, we offer an amazing selection of plans and communities to fit every lifestyle. With endless personalization options and upgrades, you can create a space that's designed to fit your unique taste. From Clemson to Columbia and beyond, we'll help you find the perfect place, whether it's right around the corner or across the state. Discover greatness reimagined and check out our Clemson communities at greatsouthernhomes.com.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Looking for a tractor that works as hard as you do? Come to Mahindra of Anderson, your local source for the toughest, most reliable tractors on the market. Whether you're working the farm, maintaining your property, or need heavy-duty power, Mahindra has the perfect tractor, UTV, implement, or trailer for the job. Buy it new, shop pre-owned, schedule your service appointment, or order parts with the best customer service right here in the upstate of South Carolina. Visit Mahindra of Anderson at 507 Pyramid Dairy Road or online at mahindraofanderson.com.
Rely on the pros at EnviroMulch for any outdoor project. Trust EnviroMulch as they have the best products to protect your landscape and plants and help them retain moisture, enhancing your home and saving money. Order online at EnviroMulch.com.
With all the changes going on in college athletics, you need someone who can keep you up to speed. And that's where we come in.
How do you think it went? I got him on the 1 yard line.
English, please. You know, I don't know baseball.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back in. Hour one of Facts on Sports continues here. We're going to wrap up this Braves discussion here in this hour. We're going to move forward on to some college football, some NFL, a little bit of NBA draft recap, and so much more. 654-ROAR if you'd like to get in and join us. And I'm a little uncomfortable that we come back from this break. Chad the Mailman gets in. Me and John are in sync now. I'm uncomfortable, man. I don't know how to process this. I don't like being on the same page with Chad. This is a new a new place for us, and this is just kind of an awkward stance when it comes to sports takes, to say the least. But don't worry, we'll definitely be on opposite sides of thought when we start talking the NFL later on.
Yes. Are you going to start pushing Caleb Williams propaganda next? Is that the next stage in this Chad the Mailman alignment, or is that too far for right now?
We all have a line that we can't cross.
Yeah, that's fair. We will be making fun of the Bears relentlessly throughout the course of the NFL season, I'm sure. But as we wrap up the Braves discourse, John, you know, This is the Friday edition. Well, let's save series predictions for around the horn if you're good with that. But let's talk tonight specifically. Do you think the Braves can get up off the schneid, get the bats going a little bit at home where they've played very well this year, and get to a youngin' in McAbel for Philadelphia? Or do you think the Phillies are going to be able to bounce back from their recent slump on the road and a little bit of a rut, scoring just one game against Houston over a three-game set?
You know what? For some reason that I have to be the voice of positivity this morning for the Atlanta Braves, I think the Braves get it done tonight.
Let's go, man.
I think the Braves get it done. I think a little bit of home cooking, sleeping in your own bed, fighting your own local traffic instead of New York traffic, I think is going to make it Braves players feel a little more comfortable getting to the ballpark. Yeah, it's going to be good weather. Yeah, give me Atlanta. Be nice, 81 degrees in the ballpark this evening.
I was trying to remember if McAbel had pitched against the Braves this year, and he hasn't thus far. I'm checking on Elder right now to see if
he's stacked. Not. I went and checked that during the break.
So Elder hasn't pitched against the Phillies. Abel hasn't pitched against the Bravos. This will be the first matchup between the tandem against their respective opponent. And when you shift gears to Saturday's matchup between Schwellenbach and Lizardo, Schwelly threw all the way back on April 10th against Philadelphia with a 4-2 victory in 11. He went six innings, seven hits, one earned run, five strikeouts, and two walks. So a pretty darn good performance from Schwelly. And then checking in on Lizardo as well and what he did the previous time out on the bump against Atlanta. He also pitched in that 4-2 game, and he shoved in that game. He was awesome. Six innings pitched, just one run, six strikeouts, and one walk. So the last time we saw the Saturday matchup between those two, who are both really good pitchers in their own regard, it was a pitcher's duel. I expect us to see something similar on Saturday. And then on Sunday, one of the weirdest dynamics in sports is the fact that Spencer Strider owns the ever-living mess out of the Phillies during the regular season, yet has had, like, complete meltdowns during the Phillies twice during the playoffs. So, regular season Strider against the Phillies? I'm feeling really confident on Sunday because he's got, like, a 1.76 ERA and 11 career starts or something along those lines against the Phillies in the regular season. So I like Strider's chances, and, man, he's shoving as of late. He's looked a lot better. I'm really proud of the progress that he's made, and I'm glad that I maybe sounded the panic alarm a little bit too early on Strider. I still don't think he's full-blown Cy Strider, right? He's still working his way back from a major elbow injury, and he deserves a little bit of leniency with that. But at the end of the day, seeing him up at 98 miles an hour again, seeing that bite on that slider, getting swings and misses, that feels like it's more of what we're accustomed to seeing from Spencer Strider. I like the Braves' chances on Sunday against Ranger Suarez. Saturday's house money, as far as I'm concerned. This is the coin flip game tonight, though. Like, if Elder pitches well and you can set the tone, you've got a chance to sweep, which is why I think tonight's an important game.
Texter 5713 got in with an interesting text. It's something that we talk about a lot, but we never provide the data, so I'd like to do that here. Texter 5713 gets in and says, "Hey guys, you mentioned the highest paid rosters in baseball. Could you quickly go over the top five or seven and what their records are currently? I think that would be a very interesting bit of information in talking about the Braves not spending the same money as some of those guys." So, Faxon, before I do this, I want to ask, do you want to do total payroll or the active payroll for the 26-man roster?
We can go total payroll. Right. I will say that I do think that it's also worth acknowledging, like, the level of revenue that you bring in compared to what you're actually spending. But for the sake of this exercise, we can go total payroll. Total payroll seems more fair, and I think the Braves are like eighth or something like that.
You are correct. The Braves are eighth in total payroll.
Yeah.
So I'm glad the texter said the top five or seven. So we'll give the seven above the Atlanta Braves their records and within the standings.
Okay.
The Braves, for total payroll for the 2025 season, is $209,869,000 or $869.93.
Okay.
Total payroll for this year. The average age of this team is 28.7 years old, and I want to remember that because it is the youngest of all of these teams that we are going to talk about. The first and the highest pay payroll, total payroll in baseball, is the Los Angeles Dodgers, not a surprise, at $337 million. At a record of 51-31. Right behind them at 325.3 are the New York Mets, who you own, at 48-34. Right behind them at $288 million are the New York Yankees, 46-34, first place in the East. Then next are the Philadelphia Phillies at $279 million, 47-34, right there fighting with the Mets at the top of the NL East. At fifth, the Toronto Blue Jays, 245 million with a 43-37 record. They are, let me check that, third in the East, kind of sitting there right now with the Tampa Bay Rays. Six of the Houston Astros at 48-33 with 220 million spent. Right after that are the Texas Rangers, 219, one game below 500 at 40-41. And then the Atlanta Braves, who are six games below 500 with a $209.8 million total payroll for the 25 season, just right ahead of those San Diego Padres at 209.3.
If I'm not mistaken.
And after that, San Francisco, that's the end of $200 million payrolls, and then everything really starts to drop after that.
Are the Braves the only top 14 payroll in baseball to not have the 40 win mark yet? Am I seeing this correctly?
Yes.
So, once again, I do think that, like, when you look at total payroll, yes, the Dodgers are $120 million or whatever above you. There are teams that have a larger size gap between, you know, what the top of the food chain looks like and where you are. You're spending enough to win and spending enough to be good. The players yep. need to play better and play like they're being paid.
Correct. This is about ownership of the players and ownership of the contracts that have been given out. This is why I don't like it when Braves fans cry poor. Because guess what? The Tampa Bay Rays have an $88 million total payroll and they're 46-35. The Milwaukee Brewers have one of $104 million. They're 45-36.
That's true.
The St. Louis Cardinals are at 135 and they're 44-30. The Detroit Tigers, $144 million payroll, substantially less than the Atlanta Braves. They're 51-31. The Cubs, we hear all the time that you can't compete with the Cubs. The Cubs have spent $192 million for this season. They're 48-33.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear Braves fans cry poor as the reason why. Because there's other plenty of teams and plenty of examples up and down Major League Baseball who spend significantly less than the Atlanta Braves and are getting more out of it. This is my reoccurring point of bad contracts given.
It also does feel worth acknowledging that you have to look at where those, like to your point, where the contracts are allocated, where your dollar signs are allocated, and then how many of your dollar signs have gotten injured all has to play a part in your evaluation of this team. For example, Raylando Lopez, he's slated to make $8 million this year and $14 million next year. Obviously, it goes without saying, you'd like to have that on another player right now because he's going to miss the whole year, but there's no way of projecting that. Strider is a guy that's being paid $4 million this year, but that $20 million extension kicks in next year. Guess what? He missed the first however many months of the season. Chris Sale's getting paid $22 million a year. He's going to miss a month and a half. Ronald Acuña Jr. is getting paid 12 and a half, or he's getting paid 17 rather, the next 2 years. He missed a month and a half plus. You look down at Joe Jimenez, who's making $9 million this year. He hasn't pitched for the Atlanta Braves. Profar is making $6 million. He's played in like three games. So you look at all of these contracts down the line, and then, of course, you got Rafael Montero, who you made the move for, that you're just having to bite the bullet on the salary. He's getting 11.5, and freaking Iglesias is making 16. I don't know if the complaint needs to be as much with what the ownership spends, because the ownership is going to spend in a similar range to where they have spent for the last two decades of Braves baseball. They are comfortable being 7th through 12th in payroll. They think they can win like that. They have won like that. That's just realistically where you're going to be. The issue here is you've given out long-term deals to players that have underperformed, Ozzie, Michael, specifically. Again, not calling anybody out. It's just the reality of the situation.
We can call them out. It's what we're here to do.
And Ozuna hasn't performed like a $16 million player this year. Iglesias hasn't performed like a $16 million player this year. Riley hasn't performed like the highest paid player in the history of the franchise at $22 million this year. So is the payroll an issue in comparison to the fact that there are 5 to 6 teams that can check your bag at the door and say, ha-ha, we've got it and you don't? Yeah. Guess what? That's never going to change. That's not something that's going to change. So you got to win in the way that you're currently trying to win, which is we want to get ahead of the schedule with these contracts. And you know what? It's a large part of why you won the World Series. You got Acuña locked up. You had Freddie on a sweet deal for a while. This method to the madness can work. But for it to work, your players have to play up to their value or exceed their value. And for the Braves players doing such a phenomenal job of that over the last decade, this is really the first year that we've seen some regression.
Like, last year there was regression, but there were so many injuries that you could make that excuse and it was valid. Fair? Like, there were so many guys hurt last year that you weren't even throwing out your team in the playoffs. Like, you didn't have Acuña, you didn't have Strider, you didn't have any of these guys. Whatever. Last year's a wash. You fire your hitting coach, mistake. You scapegoat him, mistake. And now you're up against the barrel this year. But I see every element to this. And ultimately, and I hate to do it because it's not something that's super fun to do, I would love to sit here and just, you know, gripe about Liberty and gripe about Anthopoulos and Snitker. And you know what? All three of those parties deserve blame. But if Austin Riley was hitting 300 right now instead of 270, our conversations would be much different. And if Ozzie Albies was an MLB average second baseman, just not the worst second baseman in baseball, we'd be having different conversations. So I'm not sitting here telling you that your points on the text line are wrong. I think you're right. I think the Braves need to spend more. I think the Braves need to spend smarter. I think Anthopoulos needs to be better. I think there needs to be new leadership in the coaching department. But what coincides with that is the players playing up to the valuation of their contracts. And until that happens, Atlanta's not going to succeed no matter who's in charge in the GM or the coaching spot. It's about players, folks, and baseball more than anything. We use Jimmies and Joes, and we'll talk all about Jimmies and Joes in the second hour of the program with College Football Discourse right here on The Roar. But we talk Jimmies and Joes in football, and that matters, right? Every coach will tell you got to have players. You talk to Brownell, he'll always tell you it's about the players. It's about the players. You got to have the Jimmies and Joes. In baseball, that's more applicable than in any other sport. If you don't have the Jimmies and Joes in baseball, you lose. You're the Colorado Rockies. You're the Chicago White Sox, right? You're going to be 50 games under 500 at the end of the year, maybe even more. You're the Oakland A's. But with the Braves, the issue is that they're not those teams. They do have the Jimmies and Joes. They're just not playing like Jimmy and Joe. They're playing like Steve and Craig. You don't have the guys this year for whatever reason. I don't have the answers for you guys. I really wish I did. Like, I don't have an explanation for 6 of the 9 players in your lineup regressing drastically from season to season. I don't know. I really don't know. And I don't think it's as simple as just one coach or one positional guy or one tweak here or one tweak there. This is starting to feel more and more like a foundational issue to me the further we get along in the season, John. We'll talk college football up next on The Roar. Stick with us.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens.